So in our Prominent Parents segment, that's exactly what we do. We either chat to the parents of prominent people or we chat to parents who are prominent. And there's no one more prominent when it comes to the traffic services than Kenny Africa. He's the Western Cape traffic chief. If you hear updates on the wireless when it comes to radio, more often than not, it's Kenny that people will be chatting to. So he's been around for a very, very long time, starting right at the bottom when it comes to the traffic services. But that's obviously not the only job that he has. He has another very important job at home. He's chief executive, his wife at home, making sure that he stays honest. But he's a father and a grandfather as well. Kenny Africa, you're in Laingsburg at the moment. Good morning.
Good morning, Kino. Yeah, I'm in Laingsburg and it's already 38 degrees. And in Beaufort later on, they say it will be 45.
Yeah, mate.
So it's hot.
I hope you're wearing your David Hasselhoff shorts and a light shirt.
You know, it took me back way back in 1974 when I started my career. We used to wear short pants.
You started your career in 74?
In 74.
A little troublemaker was born in June that year, actually. His name's Kino Cummings. Okay, so you started your career in 1974. Just take us through your story.
Well, Kino, let me first start off by just informing the public out there with the situation we've got in Beaufort West right now.
Yes.
Due to the closure of the road just outside Beaufort West and also the Oudtshoorn Road, the alternative route for people coming from Johannesburg to Cape Town, they need to take an alternative route from Colesberg to Noupoort, from Noupoort to Graaf-Reinet, from Graaf-Reinet to Aberdeen to Willowmore, De Rest, Oudtshoorn, Calitzdorp, Ladysmith, Berrydale, Montague to Worcester, and from Worcester they can go to Cape Town and vice versa. That's how serious it is at this point of time. The N1 is totally blocked off, and there's no way that people can go through Beaufort West. You know, that's the main route from Johannesburg to Cape Town and vice versa.
I know that they closed down that road because Scholar Transport was closed. It was cancelled. I had a chat to the MEC, Debbie Schaefer, this morning. She will join me on air tomorrow. She's given me some of the explanations. I don't totally buy all of them. So we'll have that chat. And I also spoke to the Premier before the show this morning, had a bit of a telephone conversation with him. He's aware of it, and he continues looking into that as well. My only problem is you can't tell people, your school's within a 5K radius. Let the children walk. Do these people know that we live in South Africa? But anyway, Kenny, I think important for us to... Let's get back to your career now. You said started in 1974.
Yeah, way back in 1974, I started my career as a traffic officer. Now, it all started after I did five applications to become a traffic officer. And after the fifth one, I decided... Every time I got a response from the Department of Transport that time, sorry, you were just a day or two too late. So I then decided to hitchhike from the town where I was born in Genadendal. It's a little Moravian mission station in the Overberg, about 3 kilometers from Greaten. That's where I was born. And I then hitchhiked to Caledon to the N2 and got a lift from there to Cape Town to go and ask the people in transport, but how come every time that I apply for this job, I'm just a day or two too late? And that specific Thursday morning when I walked into Alfred Street on the sixth floor in Cape Town, the gentleman, Mr. Sneyman, who opened the door, that was room number 602 on the sixth floor, when he opened the door, I said to him, but I would like to become a traffic officer. And he said to me, sorry, sir, but you are just a day too late. This is the sixth time, sir, that I applied for this job. How come always the same answer, I'm a day too late? And he then called a certain person by the name of Mr. Sneyman. And he asked Mr. Sneyman, can you just go and have a look if this kid applied five times for this job. And after about half an hour, he came back and he said, no, I've got his applications in front of me. This is his sixth time. And they said to me, can you come back tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, because we need to get the committee. We will give you an opportunity. We had our interviews the day before, but we're going to give you an opportunity. And I said, yes, sir, I'll be there the next day. Now, at that time, I had very long hair, ponytail, and the next day when I could, and he said to me, and just remember, if you want to become a traffic officer, you must cut your hair. So the next day I went and I didn't cut my hair. When I got into the room, there were six gentlemen sitting around the table, and they called me in, and after a lengthy interview, they said to me, I must be at the telephone at around about 4 o'clock that afternoon.
Yeah.
They will give me a call and tell me whether I was successful. And 4 o'clock that afternoon, the phone rang, and I picked up the phone, and the gentleman said to me, Mr. Foree, he said to me, are you sitting or are you standing? I said, no, sir, I am sitting. He said, okay, you were successful.
Wow.
We're going to add you to the 8 applicants that we already interviewed, so we will take 9 provincial traffic officers to college.
Wow.
And I asked him, and he asked me, don't you want to know why you were so successful? I said, no, sir, I'm just glad that I've got the job. He said to me, one of the main reasons why we gave you this job is the fact that you didn't cut your hair. The fact that you stood at your point, you will cut your hair the moment you saw that you're going to get the job. He said to me, anybody else would have gone that first afternoon, go cut his hair and see that he's neat and clean, and the next day just to impress us. And you didn't impress us. You came the way you came the previous day. And that is why we decided to give you the opportunity to become a traffic officer. And my words to Mr. Sneyman and Foree on that specific day was, I will never disappoint you. I will never disappoint you. I will prove to you that I will make a difference in other people's lives.
Wow.
And that is also the same day when I learned, and I said to myself, I must always remember that success will never be about giving a person, an Afrikaanse, hulle erkenning for what jy gedoen het nie.
Wow.
But success must always be about making differences in other people's lives on a daily basis. And the fact that they made a difference in my life on that day, I decided that I will prove to them that I will make differences in other people's lives on a daily basis. So I started my career in Ottery. Then it was the Traffic College in Ottery. There are all so-called colored traffic officers were trained at Ottery, and our white officers was trained in Cape Town.
Mm-hmm.
And after my training, I got my first station in Worcester, where I started my career as a traffic officer. Now, you know, that was difficult days. It was apartheid, and coming from a small Moravian mission station in the Overberg, I wasn't used to, you know, working with white people and different cultures.
Yeah.
And the first thing that I learned was within 6 months, this job is not for me. And I then decided to resign.
Mm.
And there was a gentleman, he was a year before me at the station in Worcester, Mr. Kibadu. And I wrote my resignation and I gave it to him and I said, Kippy, just go through it, man. I'm going to resign. I'm finished and klaar. I can't work like this. And he read through my resignation and he said, sorry, but it's a very good resignation letter. And he tore it up.
Oh, Kelly.
So I then said to myself, okay, then I have to work. And what happened in those days were We as so-called colored officers never had the opportunity to drive or to get new official vehicles.
Yeah.
We always got the second-hand vehicle of our white colleagues.
Mm.
And the day when they when the white colleagues went to Cape Town to fetch their new cars, we will then be waiting for them in Worcester, where I was based, to get the second-hand car of that colleague of mine. And then before they gave the car to you, they gave instruction to the Ford garage in Worcester. They're sending down three of the old Cortinas. Please take out the heater systems.
Oh, my word.
So we were not allowed to drive with vehicles with heaters and also with radios, FM radios. That was taken out.
Sure.
And we had to work with those vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
But I was one ahead of them. When we got these vehicles without the heater systems,
yeah.
7 o'clock in the afternoon, I will then park my vehicle at the police station and ask my white colleague to come and pick me up so that I can accompany him in his new car, and then I will operate the heater system throughout the night. and that was the way how I overcome that problem.
Wow.
That I had. The other thing that was very problematic at that time, Kino, we were not allowed to arrest the white person.
Yeah.
Every time that you get a person for under the influence of alcohol, you had to wait for your white colleague to come and assist you and to arrest that person. And one day I said to myself, but there must be a way that I can bypass this rule or this criminal act that we've got. And I arrested the white person and took him to the police station. And the police said to me, but you're looking for trouble. I said, why am I looking for trouble? You're not allowed to arrest a white person. So I said, okay, just going to have a look at your criminal act. It states very clearly that any person can do a citizen's arrest. And nowhere in the act they said it must be a colored or a white or whatever race you are. And when I went to court that first day, I got the same question from the magistrate. But you are walking on very dangerous grounds now.
Mm.
And I said, no, sir, the day when I arrested this gentleman, I act upon my private capacity.
Now, Kenny, this is fascinating. I mean, you've had such a fascinating life. Tell me a bit about your family.
Well, I got married in 1977.
Mm.
I just turned 21, 22.
Yeah.
I married to a woman from the Durance, Trudy. She was then a school teacher in the Durance.
Yeah.
And I got married to her. And in 1978-79, our first two children were born. So we had a pigeon pair. First a boy, and the next year our girl was born,
yeah.
Henry and Eileen. And in 1983, we got another boy, Kenneth, and he was born. And you know, the morning when he was born, she was still in hospital, and 8 o'clock, I was right in front of the department, and I registered this kid, and I gave him all my names without my wife knowing about this. So I've got a young son with all my names, and I've got a lot of names: Kenneth, Herman, Rodney, Africa.
Wow!
But in any case, all three, my kids and my wife, we started in Worcester. Built our own house in Worcester in 1983. And as the years went past, my children all went through matric, started to go to university and Belleville Tech, mm-hmm. where they furthered their studies. My daughter is currently a senior lecturer, a doctor at the University of Stellenbosch,
mm-hmm.
And my son is in the police services. I've also lost my eldest son in 2001 in a gruesome motor vehicle crash.
Oh.
That was in Cape Town,
yeah.
Where he and four of his friends, all five, got killed in this gruesome crash.
Wow.
And as from 2001, after I lost my son, when my wife went back after the funeral to school, she couldn't take it. And I said to her, my darling, stop this career of yours. Come home. And, you know, at that time, the salary we earned, I had to keep my kids at university. And I just decided whether we're going to eat bread and peanut butter every day, yeah, or sugar on your bread every day, then we will do just that. But I'm going to get my children to give them the best education they want.
Wow.
And my daughter studied for 10 years. She did all her degrees at the University of Stellenbosch. And the November month 2006, after she graduated, got a doctorate, day after that, she got the news from the university. They offered her a permanent lecturer job.
Wow. Now, you are listening to Kenny Africa. He's the Western Cape Traffic Chief. This is 567 Medium Wave Cape Talk, and the show is called Today. And what we normally do is we have a slot called Prominent Parents. Kenny, one of the most prominent ones out there, he's the Western Cape Traffic Chief. You always hear him talking about what's happening on the roads and festive season. He gives you the updates, and on weekends you'll know, you know, road stats and all the rest of it. But a very, very busy man, but also a dedicated family man. He's telling you the story. Now, Kenny, you also have grandchildren, hey?
That's correct. You know, my daughter's got two pretty girls, 9 years and 7 years old,
mm-hmm,
Storm and Hiker. And then my son has got a five-year-old boy, and his name is Zeke. So I've got three grandchildren. And
Yeah,
and they are my everything.
I also believe they send you lists in Christmas, and you need to go and get this, 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 and this. So what type of a grandfather are you? Do you spoil them rotten?
Well, I can tell you this, Kino, a person's doing more for your grandchildren than what you did for your own children. If they want it, then you buy it. That's no joke, and they just know how to tweak you.
Tell me the story about your granddaughter's list that she sent you.
Well, she sent me a list and said to me, Opa, this is what I want. And the cost of this thing is nearly 4,000 rand. And it's some board, I don't know what you call it, but it's something you can get on and then you can drive on it and those.
Oh, yes,
things.
Yes, yes, hoverboard.
That's it. This is what she want, and she don't want no for an answer. And I said to my wife, but if we buy this one, what about the other one, and what about the other one? And if you add it all up, then it comes to nearly 12,000 rand. And I said to her, my child, I'm not going to buy you this gift. I will buy you this gift on your birthday, which will be on the 9th of February. So I still need to go and see where I can get this expensive gift, but I promise my grandchildren that I will give it to them on their birthday.
Can I read the letter to Father Christmas?
You may.
Dear Father Christmas, what does it say here? I'll run through the list because I can't read. Just here. Here's my Christmas list. A locket necklace. What is this? A newborn Yorkie.
Yes.
A Huawei Fitbit. Vans, not just any shoe. And what's this? A Polaroid camera and a Hydro Flash.
That's it. Yeah. Now, that was from the one daughter.
Yeah.
And the other one, this is what I, you know, Kino, I taught my children that you need to write a letter to Father Christmas.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Father Christmas will not pitch.
Yeah.
So you have to do it well in advance so that we can have time to send it off to Father Christmas, because he still have to go and buy all these presents, you know. And some of these presents are not in Cape Town, it's in Joburg. And so he has to go and look for all these presents and see that
I have it
in time.
Okay.
And that is how I taught my children that we are doing this year in and year out.
Well, Kenny, I just want to thank you. We've had half an hour with you. It's been so brilliant listening to your life story and finding out more about your family. And I see someone's already heard you on radio and they're trying to contact you right now. So,
you know, I just say one thing before you go?
Go for it.
You might ask me the question which many people ask me, but how come you made it for 46 years in traffic?
Yeah, that is a good question, yeah.
And I said to them, there's only one reason why I made it for 46 years. After my very first day when I got my second-hand new car from my colleague, when I stopped in Worcester in my driveway, I did this. I closed my eyes and I thanked the Lord for bringing me safe home to my family.
Wow.
And sometimes... then I also asked the Lord if I did not do what is expected or what was expected of me to do for that day. Give me the power and everything that I need to do better tomorrow.
Wonderful stuff. Kenny Africa, the Western Cape traffic chief. Not only that, he's a dad and an awesome granddad that spoils his grandkids rotten.